My name's Irie. I'm the writer for Punch and Pie at www.punchandpie.net, and you're listening to the webcomic Beacon.
Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 54 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. I am Vess of PSIwebcomic.com. Tanya is out this week as she is at some sort of charity event. But we do have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Hey, I'm Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Hi there.
Did I just say that?
You did, kind of. Okay. I just want to make sure everyone knew. That it was me.
Alright.
Foster or something.
Also with us, we also have Mike, or Onyx Sparrow of WagonWebcomicBattle.com, and what is the other one?
The other would be OnyxSparrow.com.
Oh, okay. Welcome!
Yes, they match. It's good.
And as well, we have our dear note-taker with us, and hopefully he'll be able to do some note-taking tonight or something like that if somebody else wants to. But we also have Dungeon Warden, or a.k.a. George of DungeonLegacy.com?
DungeonLegacy.com.
Awesome. Welcome.
Thank you.
This week, we're going to be talking about that communal webcomic we've been talking about for the past couple of shows, Webcomic Bacon.
sort bacon, of this- bacon, bacon. Only one thing smells like bacon, and that's bacon.
Bacon!
I can't read!
We're going to be talking about Webcomic Bacon, Basically, tonight we're going to be developing the main cast, main characters, and also the overall feel of the comic with an aim towards a gag a day and short story arc type of strip. If anyone's seen the guest strip project, something like that, only with a few core players that can regularly come in, as well as getting guest content as frequently as possible. And to go back to the guest strip project at gueststripproject.co.uk, they're having a December donation-a-thon. Donation-a-thon this month. So go ahead, check that out, and help donate some money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, International Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they've only got 4 months left before it finally ends and they start all over. If you're on the list, you don't have that much time left to go to wait. Only 59 artists left to produce work. Is your name down? Check out gueststripproject.co.uk. All right.
Hooray.
Just a couple more tidbits of news first. The Webcomic Beacon did get reviewed a second time. Well, a third time if you count a little bit of a review on the Something Awful forums. But this third one will actually be posted because it's not a review site that's specifically designed to be negative as some sort of shtick. This is a Tangents review, which you can find at tangents.us. And just look for Webcomic Beacon. Mark, did you read this?
I did, yes.
What'd you think?
I did. Well, I don't know. I've kind of looked into podcastery for a while now, and I'm not sure, because there are some out there that really are like NPR or the BBC or something like that, you know, really high-end stuff, which is awesome to listen to.
Right.
But most of them, really, they're more just like people having conversations, which I think is the charm of podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Because other than that, you have a radio show. So I'm not really too sure if our friend at Tangents is really just thinks a podcast should be more like NPR, or maybe those are the only ones he's familiar with. That could be. I don't know. But a lot of the ones I listen to are really just people having conversations and yucking it up. And I kind of prefer those, actually, in a way. I mean, they're both good. You certainly make some good points, you know, like a podcast ought to blah, blah, and blah, blah, blah. But really, I think our show is more in the conversational.
The coffee, the sit around the coffee table type of thing.
Yeah, I think it's more like that. So maybe that's just not what he prefers. I'm not sure.
Right. He actually does hit on a lot of points that everyone else that has reviewed the comic have said, even the one that was designed specifically to be negative, because the title of the blog was also to be negative. But, I'm also told that Tangent kind of pulls punches. That's where you don't get as aggressive or mean as you could, right?
Fair enough. No reason to be mean if you don't have to be.
Right. But I'm told that he doesn't really ever go for the throat in anything, so it might be a little bit light as far as a critique could go. But he still hits on a lot of decent points, which everybody has. Well, I already said that. And it's all about, basically, they always revolve around making the podcast sound more professional, more refined. And I'm all for that if I have the time. And I just simply don't.
I'm waiting for the review that says, Fess's brain is as crazy as a kaleidoscope!
maybe true. But still, the only way that I'd have the time to really really make a more refined podcast, more professional style, would be is if we updated less frequently, which actually might still happen just because of all the projects I have, instead of every week, every other week. But also, or if I had, like, other people on to help set up shows, like, other, like, crew members to help, you know, put the show together. It's just, I have so much going on. And already, the longest that I've taken to do a podcast from start to finish, including everything, has been up to 6 hours. And that was not fun.
Yeah, I think that's the behind-the-scenes part of any podcast is the editing. Because the editing, unless you just turn on the mic and go, right. Which I guess there's some that do that too. But, the editing, it can take a long time. If you want it to sound really, you know, all NPR and stuff, that's a lot of engineering work.
Yes.
That you're not being paid for. It's a lot of time that you're putting in, not being paid for. So... Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably why most podcasts tend to be more conversational than anything else.
Right. You end up spending the entire length of the podcast listening to it again, plus at least 50% of the podcast time of re-listening to what you just edited, plus the time that it takes for your computer program to compile and do all of its stuff.
Yeah,
that's just the editing portion, but... let's see, Jinx Tiger was telling us about Half Pixel, or rather the Webcomics Weekly stuff. Something about there was like arguments going on there as well as far as how our podcast show is going and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I don't know if it was the Webcomic Weekly's people, which isn't really weekly, but still, that's, you know, that is more of like a professional style podcast for people that are comic entrepreneurs, really. They're the ones with professional and getting money experience with comics, and so if that's what you're looking for, definitely go listen to Webcomics Weekly. They're at webcomics.com. And no, we're not trying to be like them. We're trying to be more like fun and focus on the hobby of webcomics and not so much the professional part.
The podcast is just an addendum anyway, really. Isn't it? I mean, to our webcomicry,
mm-hmm.
I think. So, yeah, I mean, well, you know, there's all kinds of flavors. I don't know. Most of the ones I listen to tend to be the conversational kind. I just think they're more fun anyway.
And that's kind of what Webcomics Weekly is anyway. It's just conversation as far as I know. They don't do any editing either. It doesn't sound like it anyway. I don't know. Maybe they do it all in post, and I just can't hear it. But it just sounds like, you know, a regular old conversation. But in any case, let's move away from this and get down to what we're really here for tonight. And
girls, girls, girls. Oh.
Let's see.
Sorry,
here.
I just... Yeah.
We have a communal webcomic project. We're calling it Webcomic Bacon, a type of guest strip compilation as well as with a core group of people, and right now we're going to develop the main characters and the general idea of the story. The idea for the main characters is to make them either open source, public domain, or Creative Commons, where people are allowed to use it. Some sort of Creative Commons where people are allowed to use it without license, or at least with crediting and maybe without their own commercial interests. Basically, to develop a cast where we don't have to argue about who owns what or whatever. So it's just kind of, it's for everybody to kind of put together just a main core of people, a main cast of characters. And my idea is for a gig a day, or short story arcs, where anyone and everyone can just come in and supply another strip for whatever. And I wanted to make it open as possible, as most like an all-human cast, or just a variety cast, talking bacon, people, furries, I don't care. But with us, again, we have Dungeon Warden of DungeonLegacy.com and Mike of OnyxSparrow.com. Since I've been talking the whole time and Mark's been talking a little bit more, Mike, how about you give us some ideas versus stuff?
Oh, I've been simply riveted by this whole exchange. I didn't want to interrupt this wonderful banter going on. I always feel like I'm stepping on people's toes, you know? You get this flow going on.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, I don't want to jump in there and like destroy the entire thing, because I'm like an elephant in a china shop. Something's just going to go wrong. I bring chaos wherever I go. It's in my pocket.
Okay.
Anyway. So what are we going off about? We're going into the webcomic Bacon. Yes.
Yep.
Good times for all. Well, as we're talking about going through and trying to get the idea of a core group of characters, one of the things I do whenever I'm trying to create new characters for role-playing or anything else is, you kind of break it down into archetypes eventually. You go, okay, we need this kind of character, we need that kind of character, so they all kind of balance together, and then from there you kind of grow personalities. So you got to start with the basics, and you build it up from that, I think.
Okay. So we...
Right,
So what is your list of... You really think we should go for, like, a defined cast of roles first?
Well, I think that in this kind of idea, because you're going to have this basic cast that can be adapted and used by anyone, I mean, no one, just like going through a Jenny Everywhere kind of comic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have a basic character that you know what they look like, you know their basic personality traits, and that's what they're going to stick with. Beyond that, though, the individual person can adapt them to whatever you want them to be. So, I mean, how specific do you want to get into the details is the question. So, I mean, if you start down with a basic set of variables of who these people are, and then you let the people training the actual comics go a little nutty with them,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of let them develop as the legend continues.
Okay. And from what I've seen, you seem to have a good idea about the different types, or at least like roles and such. As you posted in the forums, George, do you have any ideas as well? I know you were thinking about. We're talking about roles here. What do you think about roles?
Well, they're probably good for a start, but I mean, the really memorable characters are the ones that are completely off the wall from regular roles, right? Really stand out.
Okay, Mark, do you have any ideas for as far as roles go?
Well, that's a really good point, and I think one thing to keep in mind is how these characters will play off one another.
Right.
So that should be a factor. Although, of course, people are going to be doing their own things with these characters. You have to keep in mind double acts and things like that, as the Brits would call them. You have character A and B just go together.
Right.
Or like, they're like oil and water.
Like the tag team duo, or like you're Jay and Silent Bob, essentially. You're
either Jay and Silent Bob, or they throw sparks off one another because they're enemies, they're arch enemies.
Yeah, rivals.
Like Doctor Who and the Master, they're oil and water, but I mean that makes for the most interesting kind of stories. I think you have to have both of those kinds, I think, to really make it work. And then you can even spread out from there. You can take one character and play him off a fifth character, and you might get some unusual results that way, too.
Right.
Or that's what I do, anyway.
Well, you got then you also got your interesting combination of tag team duo and the rivals, such as like Ren and Stimpy, I guess would have to be that because you know because they're always together, but they hate each other so much it seems, or at least it's like one or the
Ren
other.
And
I don't
Stimpy
know.
No, that's a little more Beavis and Butthead. Ren and Stimpy are in a Dom sub relationship. That's a whole different concept.
Okay, there we go. So, okay, Mike, I know you've gotten you've looked at this a lot. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think we should have? A main character, or main two, or main three characters, like your most protagonistic roles. How many? I was looking at maybe a total of 3 to 5 main characters to start off with.
Yeah, I definitely like the idea of having a core group of 3 to 5 characters and going through and trying to define each one to make them individuals. So it's like this is this just to make them completely kind of separate from each other. What you do with getting their interactions going is you give them their secondary traits.
Right.
And that's where they get to cross with each other. Now, that's when you get opposites from each other or you get guys that can kind of work together. But you still keep them as individual people so you can tell the difference between them. They don't end up being mushed together into one little group, like a Ren and Stimpy or something like that. One can't up the other at that point. So you have to make sure that all your characters are balanced together so they can work individually and in any combination, and you get a different result.
Okay.
So, just getting into that direction, I mean, to limit yourself to 3 to 5 main characters, you know, you can get some pretty good hardcore archetypes going with 5 characters that won't really blend into each other too much. After that, you can always add secondary characters and whatever that other people want to add in to kind of blur the lines. But, yeah, those main 5, you really want to make sure that they're kind of separate from each other and they can do their own thing.
Okay.
And defines who they are.
All right. Let's see here. Before we go to break, George, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes, 3 or 4, 5 characters might be all right. I was just wondering, some people in the chat room were talking about where the setting is. That might determine how characters play off each other, too, depending on where the world is.
All right. We'll come back to that after break. Mark?
Hey.
Ideas?
For a setting or for the characters?
Just about the 3 or 4 sound about right?
That does sound. You need at least 4, okay. I would think. You need at least 4 to get the variety. 5 is better, I think. But okay. You need at least 4, I would say.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to punch through this a little bit faster.
Thank you for calling the hotline for thegeekmedia.com. If you are a fan of social media, podcast, machinima, video games, or music, please press the number 1 and someone will be with you soon. If
you are not prepared,
please dial 0 and an operator will be with you shortly. Thank you again for calling thegeekmedia.com's customer service hotline. And please remember, we're always available 24/7 at www.thegeekmedia.com.
And we're back.
Well, that was good.
Wow, that was fast.
Well, I just, you know, whatever. Well, okay, as far as we're pretty much set on the number of characters, do we want to do, like, all human characters, or do we want to have, like, an anything-goes type of comic where anything could walk up and be canon?
Ooh, we're doing a gag a day, right? Or a
gag a day, or really short stories, like a few strips for like telling a joke or a little short something.
Wow, that's a whole. You got all kinds of multiple universes that you could explore there.
Definitely. Well, I would guess the question would be: do you want a set of characters that can be adapted. Like, if one person wants to do a human comic, they can. Another person wants to do a furry comic, they can. And the people themselves adapt? Or do you want to pull something almost like a Drawn Together, that they are a mix of different characters?
Like a Drawn Together, I think. I think when you start doing it, I think it gets too confusing if you make it so that they adapt each time, that I think not just the people that are following it, but like newcomers are not going to know what the hell is going on. But that's my opinion. I would prefer a more Drawn Together thing if you go with multiple different types of character styles.
So in that case, you'd have a setting that would be fixed, and then all the action would happen in or around that setting. Like a Drawn Together, it's the house they're in, but they go places, of course. But then that way you can bring in whoever from outside, like a diner or something, or, you know, that kind of thing. It's a fixed location that's sort of the central hub, but it doesn't keep them from going off to the mountains or whatever.
Well, I mean, at that point, then, do you have to consider a setting almost like another character in itself? That it's, this is the house they live in, and we will always start at this point and always go back to this point.
We could start off with some with not cliches, but, you know, the some typical archetypes of characters. We can have them be in the roommate type of situation, or...
They're all sitting on the couch, yeah.
They're all sitting on the couch or something. I don't know.
They're all on the couch.
I don't know. It's just so easy to have them all live together. But personally, I would kind of like to have three males and two females as far as character gender balance, if you even have them. I mean, like, if you want to walk a toaster walking around or something like that. But
fair.
But
girls are smart.
Yeah.
So it takes more guys to win, because girls are smarter. Yep. So.
Yes, you have to balance the brain power.
Okay.
Or you end up having, you know, two guys and two girls, and one's just a weird transgender. We don't know what it is. I mean, does a toaster have a gender?
It's Pat.
Well, a toaster does have a couple of slots.
Yes, but it also has a plug.
Either way. Either way. What
George, what do you think?
About what?
Do you think we should go with, like, just human characters, or a mix, or what? What do you think?
I prefer a mix. I like to try a lot of different styles. So, yeah, I'm thinking that the main character could be a pig or something. To go with the name.
I think that was Drawn Together, wasn't it?
No, there's no pig in Drawn Together unless it's something's
is.
Happened yeah, to a terrible. Yeah, that guy. Do we want an anthropomorphic type of pig, or do we want just an actual pig that can talk, like a sophisticated pig?
He was an icon from a porn site or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. He was an internet download.
Yeah, he was like a best comic character, basically. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I could go for a pig. Sure. Just, how about like a regular pig, like not anthropomorphized, but a talking, walking on all fours pig. Maybe wears a hat or something.
Oh. Well, he has to wear a hat, and he has to wear a tie and gloves, because that's old school cartoon.
Would he be standing upright then? Or
maybe. I don't know.
We could do that, looking do the Yogi Bear type of thing.
He's a were-pig. I don't know.
Were-pig.
He can go on the fall forwards. He can stand up.
I like that. We can just, since we decided on just kind of whatever four characters, we can decide more of like the personality a little bit more later. But what else? Let's see, Mark, do you have an idea for a character that you'd like to see? There's four of us here, so we could all come up with at least one of our own characters.
Well, you can get a lot of mileage out of science. You could have a scientist person, whether that's a boy or girl. Maybe somebody makes wacky gadgets, so maybe they've created a gadget so the pig can transmogrify itself into an anthropomorphic pig. like a wrist bracelet, you know, or something. And
We could end up just having the pig in there and things just happen to it.
Yeah, we could have the scientist and the pig be basically one of our duos, where the scientist maybe created the pig.
And he just keeps doing experiments on it, so weird things just keep on happening to it.
Perhaps. What type of...
It's always the threat hanging over its head that it's going to be turned into bacon. And pork chops and sausage and stuff.
We could do that. We could do that. Do we want to... Okay, I'm actually seeing a female scientist character for this, though. I don't know. I'm just picturing that. I'm just kind of thinking. What do you think, Mark, since you kind of started the character?
Yeah, that I like that. Yeah, that would work. I think there. Yeah, there's only, gosh, how many are there out there? I mean, there's Adra, of course, but
yeah,
I can't think of any others really.
There's not a whole lot of female science in cartoons. I'm thinking of too. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, there's a few in James Bond, but not a cartoon, and they're usually not very bright. Because, well, they're not there to be bright, obviously, in a James Bond picture. They're scientists. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I like that.
Somebody's suggesting, can the pig be an ex-boyfriend that she turned into a pig and is just keeping on a leash now or whatever? That might be a little... We could probably discuss that a little bit more later, but let's move on to some other core characters. Mike, do you have an idea for a character?
Well, you always get the idea of the kind of awkward, shut-in, geeky type that just kind of is really brilliant at certain things and knows a lot of stuff, but otherwise he really doesn't know anything. You know, I always like kind of the little awkward geek that's endearing, but yet he's loathsome at the same time.
Okay. Can we not go the fat geek route?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do a fat geek, no. That because I get upset at those personally, actually.
What about a fat girl geek or a skinny guy geek? I don't know. I think that'd be the balance. What do you think?
Well, that's generally what you get. You get the scrawny little emo type geek going on.
yeah. Emo geek.
Yeah. The emo geek. The little floppy hair, and he just kind of sits in the dark and he's just doing weird stuff all the time.
And he kicks ass at Trivial Pursuit.
And he buys a ton of weird stuff on eBay. You never know what
a girl, doing. What's that?
Okay, so...
You just described my life. That's so sad. Buys weird stuff on eBay, sits in the room.
I was going to say, your wife's a skinny emo guy? How does that work?
Yeah.
That's my life.
Oh, life. I thought you were talking about your wife. I was confused. Wait a minute.
Hey, whatever floats your boat.
Well, now that we're judging or anything.
Yeah.
God, you just made my life that much more worse.
We need Tanya to talk about her boobs.
Yes. Need some distraction.
Okay. So, you have any other more developing ideas for this geeky type of character?
Oh, you always get into the idea of, kind of the back-end vengeance type going on, that he just sits there and is quiet and really doesn't do anything and just puts up with people... making fun and beating him down and stuff, but somehow he always gets back at them, sneakily, without anybody really knowing he's going to do it. Kind of the Revenge of the Nerds kind of thing going on.
Okay. So calculating, a little bit more of a shutout, and probably he's a little paranoid?
Sure. A little bit of the inverted kind of... Yeah, he kind of sits there and really doesn't talk to anybody and doesn't seem like he does much until you get into his brain and you really see how much is spinning around in there.
Okay.
So he's a little diabolical in that way, but you wouldn't really know it.
Sweet.
It's kind of like one of those people that, if they get into a chat room, they're huge, fantastic gods of the internet, but if you see them in person, they don't really do anything.
He wears a little Burger King crown.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go. Perfect.
I think that's pretty good. Dungeon Warden, do you have a character idea?
Oh, let's see.
We could use another female character, I think.
Oh, you're going to have Becky. Webcomic Becky? Beacon Becky?
No, you have to come up with your own idea.
Well, I thought that was going to be on a girl, though. That's the thing.
I don't know.
She could be a next-door neighbor.
Yeah.
Support cast.
These people are weird.
Do you have an idea, George?
Still thinking.
Okay, let's look at the chat room. See if any chat room start mustering up some ideas.
Hmm.
I can see Becky now. I can see Becky now. She goes to work and, like, her job is just to pose for that one panel every week. That's her job.
Yes. Once a week, go in. Take the shot.
Takes that one shot and then goes home. And that's, like, her job.
That's terrible. I don't really have a character developed for her, though, yet. All she does is look at the camera and smile.
But she's so good at it.
She sits in makeup for 5.5 hours every day just to take the one picture.
She works in advertising. There. She works at maybe a newspaper or a magazine or something like that. Maybe she holds the product for the picture. I don't know.
She wanted to be a model, but she didn't want to wear bikinis or anything.
Well, she's kind of an average girl. She's also kind of short. So she's got a little pudge. So she's not supermodel style.
No.
It's disturbing that you would know that, but okay.
Well, that's how I designed her. I designed her as just, you know, an average girl. Maybe a little short, but long hair.
Just the girl next door.
So sounds like the girl next door, like you're looking out your window and you're drawing, and oh yeah, there she is. Yeah. Let me
She wears pink. No, I'm just,
oh no.
Let me put the telescope away.
Okay, well, I have another idea. While you're still thinking, George, I have another idea for another animal character, just to try to mix it up a little bit, because I like the webcomic House Pets, where it's kind of weird. Of that, that people are living with fully intelligent animals as their pets, and they walk upright and everything. He had a really funny Thanksgiving comic. The husband and wife are sitting at the table, and I think all the humans always have like their top of their heads cut off, so you don't really see them as who they really are. Kind of like Mom and Dad from Cow and Chicken, if you guys remember that. From the waist up. But that they were sitting at the table, and their pets were sitting at the table, and the wife or the guy was asking what they're thankful for, and the dog goes, food. And then the cat goes, also food. And then the husband goes, I'm glad our pets are so happy, so easy to please. But what about, like, just a talking pet? Kind of like you'd look Brian from Family Guy and such, but the talking pet. What do you guys think?
You get to go through and you have the pig going on, and do we know if the pig actually talks or not, or is it a normal thing, or does it sometimes talk and it just kind of does whatever?
Well, it varies, I think. If it was something being experimented on by the scientist lady, we could have him pretty much doing anything.
So, I mean, I'm just going through, do we really want we have to be careful that we have, okay, this animal is a pet and the other one is an experiment and weird things happen to it. So it's like, we're going to have the pig and a cat or something like that hanging around together, and all of a sudden the pig still wants to hang out with the cat, but the pig keeps on changing into weird stuff and messing up the cat.
Well, I think more so it would more or less almost always be a pig, but it might do other things later. But I would like to keep it more or less looking like a pig, just so we can keep track of who that character is. And I was thinking as another animal character for the pig to play off of. I'm not sure whether or not the house pet would be friends with the pig, but at least it's somebody he could somewhat relate to at some level. That's kind of what I was thinking. I was thinking of something that could play off of the pig a little bit more, because the pig is probably going to have to go between somebody for, you know, shelter or protection every once in a while. So I could see the pet kind of looking out for him because he's kind of like a brethren, so to speak, despite craziness. That's my idea anyway.
I mean, yeah, you can definitely have something else around. I mean, even if you have the comparison between, okay, this is what a normal animal should be like, and this is what, you know, this pig is like. So you really get this idea, not all animals are freaky weird. Some of them are just, you know, regular pets. So it sort of works in that direction. But I've always been partial to things like, get away from cats and dogs as much. I like ferrets, personally. They're always fun to have around.
Okay.
They're small, they're weaselly, they kind of get in trouble, but they, you know, they're pretty smart too, so they can figure things out. like to steal shiny things.
There's only one I can think of. That's in Candy. That's, well, the one I can think of.
Candy?
Yeah. The webcomic Candy.
They have a ferret that battles the squirrel mafia.
And it can fly.
Yes, it can fly.
It was experimented on. That's the story they're going with. It has powers because it was escaped from a science lab or something like that with the help of the squirrels. And the squirrels wanted to try to take over humanity. And I know way too much about this comic, but it's a drama comic, and that was like the only really good, interesting part of it. Anyway, the ferret did not help them, so that's why the squirrels are against the ferret, Minjo, or however you say his name. Anyway, moving on. Dungeon Warden, do you have an idea for a character yet? Otherwise, we're going to have to skip you.
We're going to have a female who likes to dress up really pretty. Looks like a... normally, but she's also into extreme sports, so she does a lot of really dangerous extreme stuff, but the rest of the time she just looks like a sweet, you know, she likes to dress up with heart dresses and stuff like that.
So you look at her and you wouldn't think at all that she'd be into this stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. What do you guys think? Or is it too cliche? What do you guys, Mark?
That she's into dressing up?
No, that she's, From what I'm gathering, you're saying she kind of looks like she'd be a prep and all this, but really she's pretty hardcore as far as like, and she's into extreme sports and stuff.
I think that's almost getting in the direction of the Amazon princess archetype.
Yeah, now getting like into she's a more normal. She's not like really built. Yeah. Just have a normal female body.
Or pulling off some kind of a Who is it? Lita from Sailor Moon, if you watch that cartoon.
I don't remember. Which planet was she?
Jupiter.
Oh, okay.
And she was more of the jock, but she was still, set up to be, for some reason, also like to cook and clean and everything else, too. So it was kind of weird. So almost again in that direction of a character.
Okay. What do you guys think about this female character style? Mike?
I've seen a... Oh, I thought
you... Yeah? Was that me? You.
I heard an echo. That was kind of weird. I'm sorry. I've seen kind of the athletic girl kind of thing go. It's kind of interesting if you can pull it off. It gets a little cliche after a while because you end up getting kind of the girl trying to be tough and, like, pretend that she's not a girl. And so she ends up, like, cracking or something like that and eventually having an emotional moment or something like that at some point. So, I mean, it can be interesting, but I've seen it done a lot.
I was thinking the opposite, where she acts like a girl.
We would definitely have to find a balance for it.
Wait, go ahead, George.
Sorry.
I was just saying that she would be the opposite. She would act very girly all the time, but she's also into doing extreme sports type of stuff that you wouldn't think she'd be interested in.
So, it's like you don't have to be a tomboy girl in order to... do what tomboy girls are typically seen doing, is what you're saying.
Yeah, something like that.
Or how about a really, really hot chick who's into sci-fi and video games? That would be unusual.
Are you being sarcastic?
I'm just saying, that would be unusual. But...
that's just fan service at that point.
Might sell a lot of t-shirts, I don't know.
Well, I think we got a pretty good cast going on here. A lot more stuff can be developed, of course, and we're probably not going to develop so much more on the show. We'll probably start developing this in either emails or in our forums and even our own character designs and setting things up. We each kind of got a character to work with. And we can come back more with characters later on, and as we go on, we'll make various announcements in the show about how we're doing it. In any case, we're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the world style and the overall feel for the comic, and we'll see what goes from there.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
Well, we're boobless today.
We are boobless today. Well, not me. I should just lose a little weight, but I don't think those are the type of boobs you're talking about.
Yeah.
No.
Definitely not the kind we're talking about.
Yeah, mine aren't pretty.
No.
You didn't even have to say that for me to know that.
Hey, the chat room's cracking me up right now.
Fan service!
Okay, so we got all of our strange household characters.
Covers ears.
Do we want to have... Okay, so we kind of got to keep them together in order to keep things a little more controlled or controllable. Are they going to school? Are they in college? Or do we just not want to have to explain that? Is the world setting just kind of going to be ambiguous? What are some ideas for the overall feel and the world of the comic, do you think?
Have we decided on what rating this would be, like a PG? Is it all audiences? Is it R-rated? Is it?
I like to always go at least Web 14.
Web 14,
at least. Rated R stuff. I mean, it's like whatever, you know, what this show is basically rated is about Web 14. I don't really rate it anymore since I will allow swears in every once in a while and certain things by context. But I would prefer to stay away from the extreme rated R. But that's just me.
Yeah. But you know, it's open source, so people can generally do what they want to eventually.
Well, true. But we,
non-sanctioned.
No, yeah, non-sanctioned. Yeah, we won't let those to be on the official website.
Yeah. There's going to be an underground bacon.
Oh, wait a minute, we got our pig character. There we go, bacon. I just thought of that.
You just made that connection, huh? Okay.
And I'm the one who came up with the pig, didn't I?
Yeah. That's why I thought you thought of it. I was like, okay, pig, bacon, sure.
Okay.
You just wanted a pig, okay.
Yeah, I was just... All right, cool. All right, world area and such. Mark, do you have... Did you... Go say something.
Well, I assume we're all in the United States, so it's probably what we know best. I mean, if you want to say Denmark or something, you know, you'd need somebody who understood Denmark and all the little things like the money and denominations and how the subway works and what you can and can't buy in the grocery store. So, yeah, United States is probably a...
They're from Generica.
Generica.
That's what I've heard.
Generica.
That's good.
Any town, Generica.
Baconville or Baconburg.
Yeah.
We're in Baconburg.
I'm from Fatback, USA.
Fatback University.
It's just a few miles up the road from Hog Jowl Town.
This is terrible.
And Chitlinsville is a few miles beyond. From Baconburg.
Yeah. But if you made it all the way to Ham Hock, you've gone too far.
Yep, and don't confuse it with Bacon Bitsville, because that's...
Yeah, that's a whole weird area. We don't go in there.
Yeah.
It's not kosher.
It should say that right on the sign outside the town. Baconburg, we're not kosher. Population. Yeah. You
know. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Down on sunny Baco Street.
All right. I guess we really don't need to. Okay, let's go down the list. Other than the bacon jokes, Mike, what do you think?
Well, just trying to get a setting for the whole thing. I don't know if we really need, you know, how specific of a place in the world they are. They can kind of be in a generic kind of area, and they just kind of use whatever they've got.
Yeah.
But, I mean, trying to get the idea of exactly who they are and what they do. I mean, you have a couple directions. Either they're roommates and they all live together somehow, or there's an apartment building they all have their own places in.
Ooh, I like or that.
Yeah, something like that. At least it lets you move people in and out and have an excuse for, hey, a new character.
Yeah.
Is coming up.
Yeah, what do you guys think of the apartment idea?
Very good. I like that.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Excellent.
Yeah. So beats a van like, down by the river.
Yes. Yeah. A van down by the river.
Well, that works for me. George, do you have any ideas or thoughts on the whole area feel subject?
Yeah, keep it fairly generic and just live in an apartment complex.
All right, Mr. agrees with everybody. let's turn over to the chat room real quick. I'm probably going to cut out a lot of dead air here, but anyone in the chat room have some overlying ideas about the project as a whole?
Our operators are standing by right now to take your call. Call the Webcomic Beacon with your idea today. Don't wait. Time is limited.
I'm going to splice that out just so I can keep it somewhere for
Espanol. Se habla español. Número dos.
Okay, Jinx Terror says he's stuck. What are these people for? What do they want? What do they want to avoid? Well, the pig wants to avoid being changed into various bacon stuff. And to not avoid becoming bacon, that's for sure.
What would really be cool is if he had a strong affinity for stovetop stuffing.
That's awesome.
And this gives him a psychological crisis. But he just can't help it.
Yeah.
Oh, God!
Well, I think what we're mostly going to be doing, we're going to be developing these characters a lot more, get like a good character description, but not limit them too much. Do this mostly offline, and then we'll come back later with some more stuff and probably some early sketch work, and we'll put it together. Right now, I pretty much think that what we got going here is good. The only thing next to do is to get in touch with the guy that does the Rampage Network, get some web space so I can put up essentially a comic press, give everyone that's going to be working on the core designs and everything some logins, and work on it from there. As far as a website, since that's all a part of the whole thing, we could easily do just a very simple website. Straightforward, but I would like someone to design it if they'd be so inclined. Otherwise, you know, I'm just going to do my generic designs, I guess.
The other day, just on a whim, I started developing a logo. I don't know why. Just I got an idea and I started drawing bacon in a pan. Except the bacon was like a comic strip. Like wiggling in the pan. It was kind of weird. But I couldn't get the pan to sizzle correctly. It was kind of weird.
Okay.
Well, this is a good idea in the chat room there. Maybe they go to a culinary school. Maybe some of these characters go to a culinary school, which would draw in your pig and bacon.
You got a crazy chef down the hall of the apartment, constantly trying to get him into one of his recipes.
Like he's French, but he can't cook, and that's his crisis.
Or he's not French, but he's pretending to be. I think we have another character.
Or he's French, but all he can make is like German food, and it upsets him greatly.
He's at the bar drinking beer.
Or schnapps.
Schnapps, something.
He's allergic to wine.
Tragic.
Unless it's Riesling, which is German.
Tragic. That's awesome.
The tragic French chef. I like that. It's pretty cool.
He just kind of lives down there and sighs a lot.
Oh, mon ami. Oh.
Oh, mon dieu.
Ennui, ennui.
Sacre bleu.
Je suis ennui.
Just pining after this pig that he just can't catch.
Yeah. So maybe this is what the scientist is doing, is trying to figure out a way to make more out of the pig somehow, like to double the bacon. And instead, it just turns the pig into all this weird stuff from time to time.
We got developing our scientist character. She's kind of a crock, maybe. She just keeps everything she sets to develop turns into something else, despite something else might be something very useful. But it's just not what she was going for. It's like something like she could find the cure for baldness and just throw it out because it wasn't the double baconizer or something like that. I don't know.
I wasn't trying to invent clean energy, damn it.
It just throws it away.
That's that's pretty good. The French chef. Oh, it's terrible.
Like one of those, you have to figure out, then how did she end up turning somebody into a pig to begin with? That's what you have to figure out. Like, what was she trying to invent in the first place?
Well, we could have a lot of... You could have some good stuff, good material with going in that route.
Maybe her ex-boyfriend, who's a chauvinist, accidentally fell into a gadget or got zapped by a ray beam that she was working on.
I think so he was the victim of her literal ray.
This is great. This is good. We got some good stuff going on here.
She was going to use it on a professor, so he was more understandable, but... Or maybe on a English major. But instead, she used it on her boyfriend by mistake.
A vindictive redhead, somebody says.
The tragedy. Yeah.
No, but I really like the apartment thing. The apartment makes it highly customizable. A variety of characters being there for a while, going, coming around, why they're all together and not – they don't have to be living in the same house and the same couch, watching TV, saying stuff. I love that. I think we got a really good thing here. As far as a website, you know, Mike, you got your stuff. I'll try to get a site going, and if we find somebody that particularly really does want to do some of the website design, we can get somebody in on that. Otherwise, I guess I'm just planning to, you know, throw something together. Unless somebody says something, which they got some time if they're listening to this MP3, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly try to help if you need me to. I design websites all the time professionally, so we can see if we can throw something together. That's no problem.
Okay. I was planning on just throwing my usual Project Wonderful ads on, since I throw them on everything, and just, you know, get a little bit, since I'm pretty sure I'm going to be advertising this thing as well down the road. But I won't do that if anybody objects. I mean,
make any difference to me. You're paying for the web space, aren't you?
Well, no. Rampage Network would be putting up the space for us. I mean, I will be at least putting on their Project Wonderful ad, just like I put on their Project Wonderful ad on the Webcomic Beacon site at the bottom already to help increase their page counts for their ad things. You know what I'm trying to say?
It's a sponsorship then.
Yeah, we can look at more of that later. So that's pretty much it. Are there any milestones for this past week or coming up here?
I had one actually myself.
Who? What is it?
My own webcomic, which was gone for about a month and a half. It's finally back up and running, and next Wednesday it will be hitting 800 posts.
Sweetness. And we weren't given any other whatchamacallit, milestones this week, so we don't have any more to say unless somebody in the chat room chimes up. But we do have...
One. Freshly Squeezed Comic has hit 100.
Freshly Squeezed Comic.
Yeah.
That would go great with webcomic bacon.
Bacon.
At potdang.com, Freshly Squeezed has 100 updates. So, yay!
Cool beans. Another announcement. Oh, do you have another one?
Not I.
Okay. Another announcement here. People have heard me talk about the Wagon webcomic battle before. And to mention a little bit of something going on right now, here's Mike.
Ooh, something going on right now?
Yeah.
Yes, well, I did just make a new little post the other day. You might have noticed that, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
All right, I just put together a nifty little combo pack for our first two decks that are being released right now. The Alpha and Beta decks are now in a spiffy little package together that will give you the Alpha and Beta decks. It will give you a Kitten of Chaos card, and it will give you the first-placed Jenny Everywhere cards all together in one package. And we will also be donating a portion of the proceeds to the Gamers Charity for every one of them that's bought during this Christmas season.
That's a Child's Play charity for those who...
Yeah. It's the Child's Play charity, a very cool little organization getting gamers back into the community and giving back. I thought it was very cool. And so, yeah, if anybody is ever interested in getting into it, this would be a great time to be able to do it, you know, earn those brownie points.
And you can find this all at WaganWebcomicBattle.com.
Indeed.
I like that. Kitten of Chaos. That sounds awesome.
A Kitten of Chaos. Yes, you could certainly have it as a guest shot somewhere in the bacon if you want it.
A Kitten of Chaos. Is it like old ladies throw it, like in that Simpsons episode?
Oh, no. Not quite. But yeah, they could, I suppose.
You guys,
it's like a weapon card.
You're terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Tossing around the poor little red kitten. Leave him alone. Yeah. Oh, boy!
No! Okay. Well, I think that's pretty... I think that's pretty much going to wrap things up for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon. Going in the predetermined order that we had earlier, this has been Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
And this is Mark. Go to AutumnLake.com and buy my cookbook. It makes a great gift for Christmas savory at AutumnLake.com.
Holy shnikes. And this is Mike from WagonWebcomicBattle.com.
And this is George from DungeonLegacy.com.
Everyone in the chat room, thanks for coming along and helping us along this. Thanks to everyone on the show that was here. And be sure to check back at the webcomicbeacon.com for further information on the communal webcomic project, Webcomic Bacon.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Yeah, well, I can't go back and read everything.
I can't go back and read everything. I like.
Well,
that.
It's like I'm using like the TalkShoe Live Pro, where everything's like segmented into speech balloons.